a right to copying as a condition of Born Digital Heritage Preservation, Marcin Wilkowski. Doing history means working with sources. If we imagine the work of historians a century from now, what sources will they be using to describe and understand our present culture and society? Certainly the web should be used, as nowadays it's a platform of social and cultural exchange. Even in the context of the digital divide, and with a rejection of solutionist thinking, it is obvious that the World Wide Web represents a huge part of our reality and is becoming a historical source. This may be the first time in history when sources cover such a broad part of contemporary society. When Emmanuel Leroy Ladurie, in his 1975 book on medieval Montaigu villages in Languedoc, gives them a voice based on original testimony from Inquisition interrogations, it is a rare exception, because the most common voice from medieval times belongs to the ruling class, the state, and church powers. Therefore, historians of medieval times who want to explore how ordinary people lived have to use sources written by somebody other than members of the common class. The web is different, because by now it covers almost everyone, and its protocols accept everything. The social media revolution just makes the web more open, as it assumes the live streams of millions. In September 2014, Facebook had 864 million active daily users. What's more, as Julien Massenet writes in Web Archiving, the old questions on the size and quality of what is being archived have become redundant today. We are able to collect almost everything that's published openly on the web, and can do it because there's no capacity limiting the digital warehouse, and nearly no cost in making a copy of a digital artifact. The idea of heritage expands. We can even make experiments in preserving massively multiplayer online games, the How They Got Game project at Stanford, and can archive not only the content of the web pages, but also the experience of using them, as in the 2009 proposal for Facebook archiving by Frank McCown and Michael L. Nelson. But there is an obstacle, a copyright system within which copying can't be a neutral act. If we turn back from the future, to Egypt in the 3rd century BC, we could observe pirate-like activity by the crew at the Library of Alexandria. Ships come to the city's port, and if they have a roll of papyrus, it's taken to be copied for the library, so that all contemporary heritage could be preserved. Such book seizing is mentioned by Galen, the Greek philosopher and physician from the 3rd century AD, and is only a myth, as Roger S. Bagnall writes in 2002. But if the Library of Alexandria is an archetype of librarianship at all, it can be used to show the importance of copying from the perspective of contemporary libraries' work in collecting and preserving born digital heritage. This work can be done properly only if the freedom to copy is guaranteed. The web itself cannot be preserved. A library needs the freedom to copy it for the future. But nowadays, it can't seize online content freely, like the one in Alexandria did with scrolls, thanks to the order of King Ptolemy II Philadelphius. There is not even a certainty that it can link to external web resources, as we read in recommendations on the site of the American Library Association. It says, "Do not engage in deep linking unless you obtain permission in writing from the owner of the linked site." So a library has the power and tools to preserve the web, but not much legal support to do so. For example, it was only in April 2013 that the British Library got the right to freely copy and preserve British web domains, thanks to the extension of the legal deposit legislation on digital resources. In Poland, indispensable regulations are still awaited, and time flies. The Archetypal Library of Alexandria sought to own all scrolls written in its times. The threat for that library was the destruction of its holdings. In the end, it was destroyed by Romans, Coptic Christians, and finally by Caliph Umar I in the 7th century. Until our digital times, human heritage holdings in libraries and museums were endangered by physical damage in war and hate inspired by religious or political ideas. Today, the old culture of damage seems to be obsolete, as we can technically save everything in digital form and copy it at no cost. But newly born digital historical heritage is now endangered by legal barriers to copying. This is the non-saving culture. But maybe there's some grassroots alternative. If libraries can't freely preserve the web or software as a part of digital heritage, regular people do this beyond the restrictions of copyright. See Benji Edwin's writing in 2012 on piracy's preservation effect in the context of vintage games, or discover the archive team's activity towards GeoCities content after the 2009 shutdown. But heritage is not neutral, and libraries and archives represent power, as Jacques Derrida in 1996 and Wolfgang Ernst in 2003 indicate. The vision of saving everything includes not only the question of defining heritage or gaining proper representation of social reality. There is also the great challenge of digital rights, privacy, and the right to opt out of the archive. Libraries and archives, public institutions of a democratic state, are supposed to respect these rights more than only for-profit enterprises or unofficial shadow initiatives. You disagree? Try to completely delete your data from Facebook or your name from Google, our contemporary emanations of the Library of Alexandria's desire for content.